On today's episode, the Natty Boys stick to sports as we talk about how the Bengals look better but are still really, really bad. We also discuss some of the other happenings around the NFL, and we recap the UC and Ohio State football games from this past weekend, as well as touch on some of the other exciting finishes we saw around the NCAA on Saturday. We bid farewell to Bronson Arroyo as the Reds had their last homestand against the Red Sox this past weekend. And we wrap things up with some NBA talk as the New York Knicks shipped Carmelo Anthony off to Oklahoma City to form a new Big Three for the Thunder. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Everybody, welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 26th, and the national anthem is dead.
Everybody's sitting for it, at least. I don't know if it's 100% dead, but that's been the talk of the NFL world this entire weekend, is how the players are protesting, and Donald Trump, and Roger Goodell, and just a lot of nonsense that I don't want to hear about most of the time.
Yeah, I was on ESPN earlier today, and I saw that they actually had an article that was like how every team or every player protested, and they went team by team, listed all the players breakout that protested. I'm like, oh wow, like they've got like a protest tracker. That's kind of weird. But I was like, okay, I guess they were expecting a lot of people that were going to do it this weekend in light of what President Trump recently came out and said. But then I looked, they had links to Week 2, Week 1, and preseason as well. So apparently this is something they've been tracking all season.
They've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it reminded me of like what they do with their like power rankings. It's like, oh, here's our Week 2 protest.
Liberal media.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't bode well for everybody that's always bitching about ESPN being more than just sports now either.
Right.
But yeah, it seemed like every team had their own thing. It seemed like every team that did something, they did it as a whole. The Steelers stayed. It wasn't just the Steelers, but the Steelers or one of the teams that stayed in the locker room the whole time, except for Villanueva or whatever his name is, the guy that was actually a veteran himself.
Right. So the one thing that I heard before the Steelers did that is that there's actually, people can be fined if they're not on the field for the national anthem.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know how the league is going to deal with that with, I mean, every single player on the team except Villanueva, who was standing in the tunnel, you know, visible enough that he could get his picture taken and go viral.
The Seahawks and Titans also didn't come out, and they played each other, so there was nobody on the sidelines for either of those teams.
Which was awkward for the, I saw they were queuing up the lady that was singing the national anthem. You could, so just that you've already got that added nerves of all being on that stage. I don't think she was anyone famous. And then next thing you know, you're singing a national anthem that's going to be shown across the country or across the world for weeks on end because nobody's on the field. It's kind of funny.
One of the things I saw that's going to be a little close to Mac's heart is that the I guess the WNBA finals are getting ready to start, and whatever team you're going to be playing for in the future is actually sitting out the anthem also. So it's not just the NFL anymore. It's going, there's one guy in baseball that did it too. And I think for the Cardinals, is that right?
Oakland.
Okay. Oakland.
So yeah, DB, you mentioned the WNBA did it and MLB did it. One sporting, I guess, I don't know if it's a league, but one sports entity that didn't was NASCAR. And I saw some comments that some of the owners had made where they strictly forbade some of their from drivers and crew members from actually doing that. And they said, if you do any form of protest during the national anthem, you're fired, basically. So so they're, I guess, Team Trump as far as how this goes. But it's interesting.
Couldn't have called that one.
But yeah, seriously. But I'm just glad everybody got it out of their system. So now we don't have to see it anymore going forward, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll stop now.
Yeah.
I think the best aspect of this is just the Trump versus Goodell thing. Witty had talked about when we talked before we started recording. This is two villains getting together to, I don't know, I guess battle it out for on Twitter. I don't know where else they're going to do it. I don't see them getting together and fighting in the streets or anything, but
yeah, it's like everybody hates me and everybody hates this guy too. So if I go at this guy, then surely everybody's going to start loving me now.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to work out. Well, one thing that hopefully doesn't lead to too much controversy, we have an update on how we all fared on picks after week 3.
Yep. Looking at the going for our picks against the spread this past week, we didn't have a great performance. Hefe actually went 3-0. He went 3-0 and he is now 4-2 on the season. And then Mac and I are 3-3 and Witty's in the basement at 2-4.
Hey, it's anybody's game at this point, so it's true. It's a long season, so just watch your back.
And the way that things in the NFL are going right now, it's crazy. Like I know in a confidence pool that I'm in, I don't know if I got more than 5 games right today. They were so bad. So it's the games were all over the place. Adding the spread element to that, it's gonna get dicey the rest of the way out for us, no matter what.
We're still looking for something for the loser to do or the winner to receive. So if you have a good idea for what our bet should be for the season, shout us out on Twitter.
Yeah, we'd like to have that firmly decided by, I don't know, say week 8. Yeah. That way we can have the last half of the season to talk trash.
And right now I'm thinking something like the, you know, loser has to have like the rest of the guys buy him dinner or something terrible like that. So
yeah, that's what the last place person would say.
I think tattoo.
Spoiler alert, the Bengals are still bad at football. Watching the game this weekend, we saw a little bit of fight out of them.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't expect the Bengals to stick around in the Packers game, or at least I didn't going into the game.
No, not at all.
And it was nice to see them fight. Actually, at halftime, they were up 21-7, and very surprising.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see that the offense seemed to have some spark early on. I mean, they came out their first drive and scored a touchdown. I think they went 3-and-out their next drive and then came back on their third drive with a touchdown. So two touchdowns in their first 3 drives was a pretty promising start. And then they didn't find the end zone after that. The other touchdown came on a pick 6. So, you know, it's hard to say if they're improved or not. I feel like, I mean, obviously 2 touchdowns is better than none in 2 games, but they still didn't look great. The running game looked pretty good. You know, they had that rotation with Hill, Mixon, and Bernard going pretty well, but
yeah.
I don't know. Overall, they couldn't sustain drives in the second half.
Yeah, if nothing else, they executed better this time. Who knows if it was, and that led to Andy having some confidence early, which led to some better throws later in the game too.
Yeah,
he got a little wild there for a while
there at the beginning.
Yeah, there were a few times where.
He overthrew
people pretty badly, but there are a couple of plays where everyone's like, oh yeah, Dalton just overthrew that guy, but like when you look, like the receiver's just barely jogging, so I don't know if it was so badly overthrown that he's like, fuck it, I'm not going to run it out, but you know, Green did that once, and I don't know if it was LaFell or Boyd, but it looked like if they were running full speed the whole time, they might have been able to get to it, but again, it's hard to, you can't really get that perspective of just kind of where the ball's at and how fast they were going. So it's easy to say, oh, that was way over his head, so that was Dalton's fault. But I don't know if that's all Dalton or some of that's hustle or what. But
another thing that got pointed out to me on Twitter today was that they were rotating linemen in and out the entire game.
Right.
And I think it was to get – I mean, the backups are as bad as the starters, so it's not like you're getting anything better or anything worse with the backups. Mm-hmm. And it was just really allowing the players to catch their breath. Andy was still on the run for a lot of the game, but switching the tackles out at least gave them some breathing room. I mean, they looked okay. They didn't look great.
And one thing they could have used was their defense to have that opportunity, but the Packers, and they mentioned that 100 times on the broadcast, Tony Romo, it's the first time we've gotten Tony Romo on the Bengals broadcast this year, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I hope we get him more. I don't know if we'll be playing the marquee game like we were this week anytime soon, but getting to hear Tony Romo talk, and he knew exactly what the Packers were doing. They were not swapping personnel. They weren't giving the Bengals a chance to sub anyone in and out.
Yep.
They were wearing the Bengals out because it was the hottest start time of any game in Lambeau Field history.
Yeah, 90 degrees. Yeah.
Which is crazy, but you think early season, there might have been a game or two that snuck up there, but
I thought it was funny. They had they're talking the Packers turn right back around and have a home game on Thursday night. They're saying that it was 90 degrees today for the game. They're looking at a 50 degree start time on Thursday, so that's kind of a crazy. Pretty wild swing. Yeah,
send some of that weather down that here.
I know.
So the D-line for the Bengals looked pretty good today. They were putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers the entire game. His playmaking ability was still a problem, though, with him able to escape the pocket. He still got sacked, what, 7 or 8 times today?
Yeah, it was 5 in the first half, and then I think they got to him 1 or 2 more times in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there were still times in the second half where he would escape the pocket, and then the defense is going to break down at some point, and he's going to find an open guy. That's just what Aaron Rodgers does, and he was able to do it against the Bengals corners pretty easily in the second half.
And that's one thing I've noticed. Their receivers, and you see it around the league a couple different other places, but the Packers receivers always seem to be the best at it. They find a way to get open when the play breaks down. Whereas when you watch a Bengals game, if you're looking downfield or you see a different angle after the play happens, it almost seems like they just stop their routes and trail off and just jog back and kind of look for just an area to sit and hope that Andy can find them. Whereas the Packers players, they break off their routes and they've got set routes. And I know previous experience, deep man comes short man goes deep. You hope to catch the coverage screwing up when there's a scramble like that, which that happened today. There were 2 or 3 times that our DBs just looked flat out abused. At Pac-Man, most notably, on a couple of the big plays. Yeah. And
I think Dre got his ankles broken once or twice, too, out there.
I was excited to have a William Jackson sighting.
He's a freak. He's, for his, how big he is fast. Like, he's, I knew he was, but seeing it in the wild today for the first time like that, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was at one point in the game, and I know that I hate hearing people complain about this, so I'm not going to talk about it too much, but there were some really shitty pass interference calls on the Bengals that I don't think should have been pass interference. Yeah. And I know it happens to every single team, but there were 2 really bad calls that I just didn't see.
Yeah. I think Kirkpatrick had the other.
I think so. But Pac-Man's on the very first drive was definitely the worst. I mean, the guy tripped, and I couldn't tell if he got tripped up with Pac-Man or if he tripped on his own. But yeah, that was a terrible call.
Yeah, I felt like it was just incidental contact where their feet just got locked up and the trip happened. Yeah. I don't necessarily think it was pass interference, but
no.
Yeah, but Carl Olsen looked awesome. Did he end up with 2.5 sacks or 3? I forget what it was.
I think he had 2.5.
I think it was 3 sacks and 6 hurries.
Yeah. Pac-Man looked like trash a couple plays. He had a couple of tackles in the open field that were all right. He wasn't very good.
I didn't end up seeing what happened to him, but Iloka went out with an injury, didn't he?
I think he was cramping or something. I know they were having guys get cramps. I don't know if he was one of them.
I know Sean Williams a couple different times went down with cramps, I thought Iloka was something more than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get updates this upcoming week on the injury report.
And, I mean, the Bengals, and I think we've known this for a little while now, I mean, they're going to have to rely on the defense this year if they want to have any chance at being competitive in the division. And I guess the good news for them is everybody else in the division also lost today.
That's true.
So we had that rare AFC North sweep.
Yeah.
Which the Ravens got it taken to them by the Jaguars over in London.
Yeah, who saw that
London
coming?
London might be the place for Jacksonville to move to. I mean,
that was what the rumor was for the longest
Jaguars
time.
The Jaguars, too, move to.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's not moving. The Jaguars are. Yeah, and I know that that's one of those things they always say, they're going to end up moving to London. And they seem to have a decent fan base built up over there. I don't know the actual record, but to me, I don't know, maybe I'm just, it's, the recency bias, but it seems like they play well over there. Maybe it's just because
I think that they're 3-0 the past 3 seasons over there.
Yeah, and it's just one of those deals where maybe they're used to it. Obviously they have new guys coming and going every year, but I mean, it's nothing new. They don't get caught up in the tourism aspect of it. They don't get that weird. And they would not shut up today about how many guys on the field were out of the country for their first time.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
I did notice that too.
If you think about it, it's the most obvious thing ever. Most of these guys are 21 to 25 years old, maybe in their late 20s.
They spend most of their life practicing football to get to where they're at.
Yeah. It's not like they're playing basketball or baseball where they might have an international tournament they sneak away to for, like, when they're playing in their, you know, teens or even in college in an international team.
Right.
Or in an international tournament. So football is a pretty Americanized sport. There's not much reach to other countries. It's not that big of a shock that a lot of these guys who've done nothing but play football their entire lives with no free time have not left the country. The one funny story, though, I forget who it was, but he got invited to Cabo one time, and he got all excited and packed up his car and was getting ready to go. I don't know if he was going to the airport or just driving to Cabo. And found out part of the way there that you needed a passport to get into Mexico. So he's like, well, I guess I'm not going to Cabo.
That's funny. I thought this was interesting. I just looked this up because I wanted to make a joke about it. But then I saw that, I guess, for the Ravens-Jaguars game, players took their knee for the national anthem, but they stood up for God Save the Queen.
God Save the Queen.
Yeah, I saw that. Which I think makes them seem... They would have looked really dumb if they knelt for God Save the Queen, because then...
Yeah. At least they're a little aware of their surroundings and what's going on.
Yep, so...
The other teams going around the AFC North, the Steelers got beaten by the Bears, which is an ugly loss, because Chicago is not good this year. Mike Glennon, I don't know. I don't know if he's any good or not, but the Bears as a team aren't supposed to be good.
The Steelers haven't really looked that great this year. They struggled with the Browns. They beat the Vikings, but, I mean, the Vikings were playing their first game without Sam Bradford with the backup, so you knew that was going to take a week or two, which they ended up winning today with Case Keenum. But the first week of Case Keenum, when Sam Bradford was a possibility to play, you expect the Steelers to beat that team. So, yeah, the Steelers don't look that great. The Ravens got housed. The Browns are the Browns.
Well, I don't want to say the Browns are the Browns. We're playing the Browns next week. And
oh, the Bengals are going to lose to the Browns.
Yeah. I think the Bengals are the Browns right now.
Yeah.
I think the winner of the AFC North comes out with 6 wins, 7 wins maybe.
It's looking like it at this point.
How did we go to the bottom like that? I did not see this coming at all.
No, I thought they'd be hovering between the second and third spot, depending on what happened with the Ravens.
With the Browns losing to the Colts today, that was the toilet bowl. Yep. And I couldn't believe, I mean, I guess I can believe it. The Colts are not good. I heard that Andrew Luck's supposed to start practicing again soon.
They said maybe by week six.
Improve some. Yeah, they'll improve some when he gets back, but they still have problems all over that. All over that roster.
There are a lot of bad teams this year, and I don't know if I'm noticing them more because the Bengals are one of those bad teams now, so I'm kind of having to compare.
Misery loves company.
Yeah, or if it's just there's that much more of a divide from the top and the bottom teams this year.
Yeah.
I think I that's absolutely true. If you look at New England struggled with Houston today, you got the Bears beating the Steelers. Who else? There was another game that Bills beat the Broncos.
Yep.
There was another Jets won.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, and it's not parity because it's not good football. There's a lot of dumb mistakes. There's a lot of really terrible quarterback play. There's a lot of stupid, you know, fumbles or breakdowns on defense. I don't know if it's, you know, all the different changes they've made to the limitations you can do during the offseason or preseason. If that, guys just aren't sharp yet.
Honestly, and not to cut you off there, but listening to Pat McAfee talk about it on his show, he's talked about how, I guess the way they did the cuts this year, instead of doing the tiered cuts where each week you had to get down to a certain level, they did it all at once at the end of the preseason. And he was talking about how he felt like that was really going to impact teams and cause them to get off to a slow start, which surprised me because I wouldn't think that would have that big of an impact. But I guess since they weren't able to get those last, like, guys, because I guess a lot of teams will pick up guys that get cut from other teams, and since that's all happening at the very end of the preseason, a lot of guys are coming in without having much experience, and it was going to lead to sloppy play starting off. And like I said, I was surprised that something like that would even have an impact. But
and that might be a reps thing, too, with you got so many more guys in camp, got so many more, I guess, bodies to take these reps, whereas you're fine-tuning in the last week and a half of leading up to the season. And now you had a plethora of guys that were still fighting for positions. And
yeah.
You had to do the right thing by them to keep giving them reps and mm-hmm. keep giving them the looks they need.
Yeah.
I think the veterans and the people that guaranteed roster spots love that situation because they for sure don't have to play in the last preseason game, limiting injuries. Because a lot of the fringe guys or guys that weren't necessarily, they were on the team, like a lot of your linemen, D-line, a lot of guys where you only carry two deep. A lot of the starters or second string were playing most of those third and fourth games.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have that this year because you had so many guys that weren't even going to make the team.
Right.
So speaking of fringe guys, the Bengals this past offseason kept Jake Elliott on the practice squad.
Yep.
And he ended up getting picked up by the Eagles a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And today, in a game against the Giants, he kicked a 61-yard field goal as time expired for mm-hmm. the Giants to beat the Giants for the Eagles.
And
I thought that was
that's
pretty
crazy.
Telling. I mean, yeah, that's
it's cool to see him get that opportunity after the Bengals kind of screwed him over.
Good for him, yeah.
But at least
Bullock today missed like a 38-yarder. I think
48, but
was it 48?
I was gonna say, but at least Randy Bullock didn't do anything today to make us question that decision.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't even it was a terrible, it wasn't like, oh, he just squeaked outside of the upright or just fell short because of, you know, it was a deep field goal. It was a bad, bad attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Jake Elliott's field goal actually just barely squeaked in, but I mean, it was a 61 yarder,
but
he
had some distance on it too. It wasn't like it just kind of got over. It was.
Yeah.
It was the distance
was it was impressive to see, especially with the situation that he was in where, you know, if you lose you're going to overtime. Mm-hmm. He ended up making it and sealing the victory for the Eagles.
Or you kick it too short and Odell Beckham Jr. gets it. He was sitting there waiting for
He was. So that puts the Giants at 0-3.
Yeah.
And they're in the same situation as the Bengals at 0-3 and Odell still is doing his antics on the sideline when he makes, mm-hmm. I mean, he makes some spectacular catches like the one he had today where it was one handed and he pinned it against his helmet. But the celebration that he did after that catch was a little bit ridiculous where he bent down, and acted like a dog, lifted his leg and peed. I mean, I wish he really would have peed and we would have seen some wetness on him, but I wasn't lucky enough for that.
Yeah, when he went down to all fours, I thought he was just going to do a crawl. I don't know, like guys do that weird crawl like they're possessed and then they like look around and pop up and run off.
Yeah.
And then when he hiked his leg up, I was like, where's this even going? Like, what? And I believe there was some inspiration to it, but it didn't really make much sense after he explained it, did it, Woody?
No, his explanation was just that I'm a dog, so I acted like a dog, which...
Okay.
I'm more confused now. Okay.
Whatever you say, Odell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before we move on to college football, there was actually a couple stats that we wanted to go over about Aaron Rodgers that we kind of missed with the Bengals game. And that was when the Bengals went into overtime with the Packers, it was actually they flashed up, Aaron Rodgers' overtime record. And he was actually 0-7 mm-hmm. in overtime. Which I found a little bit surprising that he's never won an overtime game.
He just likes to win them in regulation with those Hail Marys.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was very surprising. I don't really remember him playing in that many overtime games to begin with. And then two, the fact that he's never pulled one out. I don't know. I'd want to go back and see how many of those were under the old format where, first team that scores wins.
Sudden death stuff. Yeah.
And I also, along that kind of the 0 for, I guess in the opposite direction. Before today, Marvin Lewis was 3-0 against the Packers.
Yeah, and those were actually also surprising.
They've all been pretty decent Packer teams. It's not like during their down years. I think one of them, only one of them came in the Favre era. It was that game where that drunk guy stripped the ball from Favre.
Oh, yeah.
In that final
and
drive.
And then he got lit up by security. Was it Odell Thurman?
A security guard lit him up at one point.
Oh, was it?
And then...
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And then the other one was a come-from-behind victory at Lambeau, and then which I was present for. And then nice. There was this... the time they came to Cincinnati, and there was a fumble. Somebody... I forget who their running back was at the time, but... They were, I don't know if they're running the clock out or what happened, but the Bengals popped the ball out and ended up going down to score. So Marvin owned Mike McCarthy until today, which a lot of Marvin's decisions were questionable. So that was
one of the, was it the only team that Aaron Rodgers hadn't beat?
It was.
Out of the other 31?
Yep, the Bengals were the only team that Rodgers had not beat, other than the Packers, obviously.
Right. Yet.
Yet. And some, right. Yeah.
So now that Marvin doesn't have that going for him, does that mean he's on the hot seat officially?
Oh, my gosh. One can only hope. Yeah.
I don't see that. I don't know. They could go 0-16 this year, and I could still see him getting an extension, a one-year extension.
I honestly think if they lose to the Browns, I don't think Marvin comes back after the bye week. If he even makes it to the bye week, he may get fired after the Browns game.
Yeah. So part of me, you
really think it'll happen midseason like that? You think Mike Brown will do that?
I think if it's going that bad, I think something's going to have to happen. That's true. Because
yeah, just to save face.
Yeah, I'll ask you guys this because I'm a little bit torn, and at this point I'd be okay with it, just for a change of pace. But a lot of people are calling for Dalton's head right now. You know, I still have confidence in Dalton that he can win with this team, and this team can win with him. But a lot of people don't, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, they either need to draft somebody, get a free agent. I mean, at this point, I'm willing to try anything. If that's what it takes, so be it. You know, maybe Dalton will have success somewhere else. But
you know, we've seen Andy Dalton for 7 years now, and kind of after year four, he's almost peaked, where I feel like he hasn't, I don't know that he's necessarily progressing anymore as a quarterback. He's kind of hit his ceiling, and this is what you're going to get with Andy, mm-hmm. for better or for worse. And if you put the right pieces around him, I feel like he can be a winning quarterback on a good team. I just don't necessarily think that he's getting the right pieces put around right. him. He's not getting, the offensive line is awful. He's got weapons on offense. Mm-hmm. Eifert sat out again today, which we didn't touch on. But I think that at the end of this year, if it goes as poorly as it is going now, that they will look for the draft and for his replacement in the draft or for a free agent.
And I think
it'll happen.
Yeah. And I don't know if they cut him necessarily, but I think the way his contract structured, it's easy for them to cut him this year.
Yeah,
once the season ends. So
this is what I think the where it begins. There was like 3 or 4 years that it would have been expensive to do, and now because that's when I forget how long his contract was. So
it was a front loaded deal. Yeah. Though, so they were saying a lot easier at the end.
Like say it's a 7-year deal. I think only 4 of those years were actually. So they were like it's truly a 4-year deal, with the last 3 meaning nothing to the team if they don't want him there anymore. I don't know. Part of me is like, okay, let's just blow it up and finish it or start over. Other part of me wants to see Andy try to finish what they had a couple years ago. Yeah. While you still got AJ in your prime, mix in today, prove that he could be a stud if he gets the opportunities, which I still don't know how I feel about with that. Every time he would run the ball, I'd be like, God, like I wish I could be happy for that run, but
he looks so good doing it.
He looks so good, but he's such a piece of shit. And then their defense is so good right now that honestly, I'd like to see Andy. I'd like to see the O-line figured out. If then next year, maybe give him the one more year with get the O-line figured out in the off season. do more than let your two best O-linemen walk and then re-sign Andre fucking Smith.
I don't understand why that's not an improvement to you.
Yeah.
Our defensive secondary needs to improve too. The front eight are awesome, you know, front seven. But
and I think, I mean, you see a little bit out of William Jackson. He could be kind of a staple in that secondary.
We still don't know what we have in Denard.
Right. Yeah. Which he hasn't really impressed me. I mean, I think he's had a little bit more opportunity than Jackson, and he's still young. I mean, he still hasn't gotten the full shot at being the main guy. So we'll see what he does there. But then at safety, I mean, you got Iloko, who's pretty much a staple. And then the other safety position has kind of been up in the air after Reggie Nelson left. Was it 2 years ago?
I think this is his third year in Oakland.
Is it?
Second or third year. I can't remember. But, yeah, I mean, when I said age on the defensive backs, it's on both ends. It's either they're too young and inexperienced or they're too old, like Pac-Man. Right. Pac-Man's starting to show his age with his, I mean, I guess he's still got a burst from time to time, but he's looked really bad a couple times this year already, especially today. He looked really bad on that broken play that led to them winning in overtime.
Yeah.
He looked really bad early on in the game. But
you see NFL teams do that all the time where, you know, they'll keep a guy around even a little bit when he's a little bit past his prime just because he's a strong character guy that you want in the locker room to kind of show the young guys how to
Someone you really want around.
I mean, I think that's more what he's here for now.
Jesus Christ.
So, Mac, you had talked about, like, A.J. Green hitting his prime right now, and he actually had two milestones in today's game.
Yeah, he had his 50th touchdown, career touchdown, and his 500th catch, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I don't want to say that he's being wasted, but if they can't get a productive team around him,
he's Joey Votto.
And that sucks because he deserves better than that. I don't want to see him go somewhere else, but I'm not confident with what they've done that he's going to get his chance at a playoff run and a title in Cincinnati unless they make some drastic changes.
Same thing with Chad back when, but then he was too old by the time he left to do anything, which sucked.
The other thing is he's shown this past week that he's not necessarily happy with the team.
Yeah.
So even if the Bengals want him to stay and want to try and build something with him, he may say, fuck it, I'm gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and I wouldn't blame him a bit if he chose to leave.
Can you imagine if he decided, I don't know where he's actually from. He played at Georgia, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if, I don't know, he's still got a couple years left, but how awesome would
him and Julio?
Yeah, if he ended up going down to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That would be insane.
That would be crazy. I might have to root for the Falcons that year just because that would be so sick. And I'd like A.J. Green more than I like the Bengals, really, honestly, at this point. Well, while our hearts were broken by the Bengals, there were lots of hearts broken in college football this weekend. Not so much in any of our teams that we root for. Witty, your Buckeyes looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Very dominant.
In the first half, I'd say. They kind of took the starters out midway through the second quarter. And then, I mean, UNLV scored a few on them, and the Buckeyes didn't score much in the second half. I don't know that that's that telling that, you know, because, again, they did look pretty good in the first half. I think Barrett had 5 touchdowns, and they took him out. So it wasn't the final score that you would have expected to see. I think I said last week that I wouldn't be surprised if the Buckeyes put up 70 on them, and they were on pace to do that. They ended up, again, like I said, they took their foot off the gas a little bit. But, I mean, that's the games like that, it's good because you can get some reps for some of the younger guys and kind of see what you have for the future. And then, you know, God forbid you have an injury, you can get some people in there with experience instead of just throwing them in there green. But
how many freshman red shirts were voided?
Right? But I didn't really expect to get, too much out of this game from a standpoint of telling, you know, where the Buckeyes
where
really
they're
are.
At, yeah.
Tune up. It's a tune-up
pretty
game.
Much, you know, and they got Rutgers next week. So, you know, you're not really going to get too much of a test until Penn State at the end of October. Maryland. I mean, anytime you're playing in the Big Ten, there's always a chance that someone's going to, put it all together and beat you, but I don't think that they're going to struggle too much against Maryland or Rutgers, but we'll see. I still think Barrett's got some work to do. I'm still impressed by Dobbins.
Not a lot of his, you know, Barrett had 5 touchdown passes, but he had a lot of errant throws still.
Yeah.
Accuracy is still a major question for him. I watched a majority of the game.
And I mean, you look at some, you look at the stats, they look impressive, but his one touchdown, he hit Paris Campbell on a little swing route, and Campbell went like 80 yards with it. So
yeah,
that was all on him.
Right.
But again, I still think, I mean, Barrett's fine. He just needs to, I think, get his confidence back a little bit. That whole thing 2 years ago, going back and forth with him and Cardale, I think that really shook him, and he hasn't been the same quarterback since. I don't know if part of that's the injury too, because I mean, he broke his leg that year before, but I mean, he'll be fine. We'll see how the Penn State game goes in a couple in next month, but I don't really think you're gonna really get too much of a test out of them until then.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the most recent poll. Did they move anywhere off of 8, or is that where they're still at?
So they were 8 after the Oklahoma loss. Coming into last week, they had dropped to 10. So the poll that came out today, they actually dropped down to 11. So they've won both weeks since the Oklahoma game, but they've dropped each time. So whatever. At this point, it's still too early to
for
that
matter.
To really matter. If they do win the Big Ten, they'll be up where they need to be. And if they don't, they don't deserve to be. So we'll see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
UC had a pretty tough game this past weekend against Navy. They ended up getting beat by 10, 42-32. It was a game that we expected that Navy was gonna beat UC in this, and it kind of went exactly how we thought it was gonna go. The Navy's offense there was no the triple option
just
was
never they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, they never figured it out, and it ended up just wearing UC's defense down.
Yep.
That's really all you can say about it, is that they had no answer for the triple option.
And that's what Navy does so well. They just wear those guys down, and they just chip away and chip away, and then they have the couple busted open plays that when they really, really throw you off with the triple option. I saw there was only one instance, which it usually happens more, especially against a team that doesn't know or doesn't defend the triple option very often. I think there was only one instance of unnecessary roughness where the guy hit the quarterback.
They're going after the quarterback.
Yeah. And that's tough because, I mean, you have to hit the tackle, or you have to hit the, you have to hit the fullback, you have to hit the quarterback, and you have to hit the pitch man. You got everyone's got to put a hat on one of them, and the quarterback obviously has special rules surrounding them. So, even though they're not a true sit back pocket passing quarterback like you see those rules designed for, I think the play that it happened, the guy after he pitched it, he still just swung him to the ground, so they called it unnecessary roughness. But as far as games go, that I thought UC. I figured they would hang tight for a little while, but I thought they'd end up getting blown out of the water when it was all said and done with some cheap touchdowns.
By Navy, I get it.
Oh, didn't think of that, but that's good.
it was good to see them fight, which is what you wanted to see out of them. You know, they never acted like they were out of it.
Right.
They continued to fight, and that's really all you could ask for a team that they were supposed to get beat by.
Hey, so is Navy supposed to be at the top of the American Athletic Conference, or are they kind of one of the middle of the road teams there?
I think they're supposed to be towards the top. I don't know if they were picked to win either of the divisions, but I think they were picked towards the top of whichever division they're in. Yeah, I know USF I think was picked to win overall. But yeah, I mean, it's all things considered, it could be a lot worse. It could be a UK football fan.
Man.
What a way to lose.
I have some family members that are UK fans.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And Saturday, during the game, they were like, Saturday night, that's going to be the first time that we beat Florida in 20 years.
No,
it's going to happen.
Been 30.
It's been 31 now, I think. That made it 31 years they've lost.
This was 31.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
They have not beaten them in our lifetime.
Yeah. Wow. When you put it like that, it's yeah, it hurts to be a UK fan during football season. During basketball season, you're fine.
I also heard a stat this weekend that I didn't know was true. I had to look it up. They've only won one national title in basketball in 20 years, too, right?
Hmm. Really?
In 20? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they won like 97 and 98. Yeah. So if you take those two away. Yeah, if you take those two away. Just from then to now, they won in 2012.
Witty just realized how long ago that was.
Yeah, that kind of threw me for a little loop there.
The look on his face.
That 97 or 98.
Hurts a little bit, doesn't it?
Or more, yeah. Wow.
But you just think of them dominating, winning the national championship every other year.
Right.
And, but, I mean, that's not the case. But they still have that sustained success, which makes it a lot easier to be a UK fan in basketball season. But for football, that's
tough. They had that Florida game. They really had it wrapped up.
And the way they
on
lost.
One of the last plays of the game, Florida was at, you know, the 4 or 5 yard line. And there was a wide receiver that nobody was covering, and he was wide.
Yeah, and they had 10 guys on the field. So I don't know if the guy that was supposed to be covering that guy was the 11th guy, or they just didn't know what the hell they were.
If you go back and watch the replay, a guy's sprinting off the field thinking he's an extra man on the field.
Yeah.
And wow. Yeah. It's.
I know during the game, Mac, you were giving UK shit for their jerseys.
Yeah.
Like the entire time, because you're like, this is going to be the one time you beat them and you're going to be wearing these trash jerseys. Yep. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the black mixed in with the blue like that.
Do you think that they saw those tweets and realized, shit, he's right. We can't win this. Let's let them score here. And then the one guy I feel bad for is that, I don't know what position he is. So one of the offensive linemen, the guy that had the holding call at the end, they kept showing him after the play and then after the game, and he was definitely beating himself up because obviously Kentucky gets the ball back with some time left, and they actually moved the ball down the field and had a pretty big run to get. Like,
it would have been a chip shot.
Yeah, I mean, he got them down like the 15-20 yard line, and instead this guy gets called for holding, and it moves them back to like the 40, and you know, they got a little bit of that back, but they were looking at, what, a 57-yard field goal to win it, and they came up just short, so... you know, it's not all on that kid, obviously, but he was the most recent, you know, at the end of the game, he was the last one that had a big screw up that was kind of right there. So
if I'm him, I have that play in the red zone queued up of the DB just not being on a receiver and just be like, this is why we lost, not because of my hold.
Yeah.
And watching the replay that I guess he did. He did hold him, but it was one of those plays. A lot of times when someone busts through a hold that wide open, typically those types of, you see those things where a defensive lineman's trying to break away, the offensive lineman has him engaged. Wasn't necessarily impactful on the play. That, I mean, it wasn't like he tackled the guy and led to that broken run. But that was such a terrible way to lose. I joked about it being about the uniforms and everything, but if you're a UK fan, that stings, especially with the long history of being Florida's whipping boy for 30 straight years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not even...
This was supposed to be the year. Yeah. And UK football really has improved over the... They have improved a lot over the last couple of years with Stoops as their head coach now, and they seem like they're finally getting some good recruits in there. And, you know, they're trying to make it so that they're competitive in the SEC, and that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
There's really no teams in the SEC that are competitive in both basketball and football, other than maybe Florida. And even Florida seems to have down football years when they have good.
Yep.
There's maybe been once or twice that they've kind of doubled up.
Yeah, I feel like every once in a while.
The other team I think of is LSU.
I say LSU every once in a while will be pretty decent in basketball, but
So going back to the Saturday night football game, the Iowa versus Penn State game, I know that this was like a big thing that they kept showing, but the way that their hospital is built over the top of the stadium really is one of the coolest things that I've seen in sports at the Iowa arena, where the hospital, like the children's hospital, overlooks the field and there's certain rooms that you can get there. And it's a new tradition where everybody in the arena like waves to the kids as they're watching the game. Uh-huh. It's actually a really cool tradition. And, you know, the wife was watching it with me over the weekend and she was like, oh, that's so sad. I was like, actually, it's pretty fucking awesome they do
right,
that.
Right. Yeah.
But the, Iowa Penn State game actually ended up being a really close game.
Yeah. I think, that Iowa Penn State game, it had a pretty thrilling finish. Iowa was up by 5, I believe, at the end of the game. With, I think Penn State had a few minutes left, and they were driving down the field basically. And once they got into Iowa territory, the time started running out, and they had it got to the point where it was 4th and goal from the 7 with 4 seconds left, and McSorley found a receiver open in the back of the end zone for the win as time expired. And but yeah, I mean, that was a pretty exciting finish. Penn State's running back Saquon Barkley is a beast. I think he had a little over 200 yards rushing. He had 300 plus all-purpose yards that game. So he's the real deal. I think so. I think he's going to cause some problems for a lot of Big Ten teams this year.
He's got to be in the early running for the Heisman.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think it's hard for anyone besides a quarterback to win it these days. But his name's got to be in the conversation at least.
Sure.
And I know that I saw some people on Twitter talking about how it was a bummer that he didn't get a touch down on the goal line in that last second situation.
Yeah.
Because that is a Heisman moment. If he would have had that game-winning run. But, I mean, you got to play to win the game. You can't play. Yeah, you want to facilitate the guy's chances of winning the Heisman. But when it comes down to picking plays to win the game, you can't say, well, let's get Barkley the ball just so we can have that Heisman moment. Right. So, I mean, his numbers were already good. It wasn't like he needed that touchdown to give him a decent stat line for the night.
No, but yeah, I mean, Penn State's gonna be tough to beat in the Big Ten this year, I think. So,
yeah, they're tough.
Yeah, fuck them.
One of the surprising things that happened over the weekend was Florida State falling out of the top 25 for the first time since was it 2011?
2011, yeah, which was surprising to me because I don't remember them being that good for the last 6 years. I feel like there have been a couple down years in there, but I guess not.
Yeah, and I mean, you know that they were good with Jameis,
right. Yeah.
But I don't remember them before that being good.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's one of those things where an average Florida State team, if they go 8-4, 7-5, they're still probably getting votes and getting into the lower half of the top 25 just on name alone. So
right.
Yeah, that's true. Name alone and tradition.
It looks like that entry to Francois in the Alabama game is going to impact them a lot more than we thought. I think it was kind of, at least to me, I wasn't sure how that was going to end up playing out because I didn't know if they were one of those teams that relied heavily on their quarterback or if he was just kind of, the guy that took the snaps and that was it. Like you'd see down in, like I said, like with Alabama, who I think they can survive a quarterback injury because they're built around running game and defense. Yep. It looks like Florida State's really going to miss him, and again, it's still early, but starting off 0-2, it's not a good way to go if you have national championship aspirations.
Yeah,
they're really screwing over my college football playoff picks.
I think they're killing the all nerve. Of us. Yeah, the sons of bitches. They make us look like idiots. Yep. Damn kids.
I don't root for schools. I root for me to be right. So I need them to do well in order for me to look smarter.
Well, we're going to – you'll do better at our quarter season predictions. We'll start over and, every three or 4 weeks we'll make new predictions. And
restart.
Yeah, eventually we'll all be right.
I love mulligans.
Ooh.
Well, if the rest of the sports news we've passed along today wasn't depressing enough, it is the Reds' final homestand this weekend. They had the Boston Red Sox in town. Season didn't really shape out the way that we had all hoped. Not that we really expected much out of them this year. But
yeah,
it was sad. I don't know if they planned it this way because of the two teams involved or it was just perfect the way it happened. Boston Red Sox in town, and they bid farewell to Bronson Arroyo on Saturday night. They started out by giving him a rocking chair as a joke. The Red Sox gave him a gift. And then the Reds had a custom guitar made for him, which was pretty cool looking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone saw those pictures.
It was.
And then they let him have his own rock and roll concert after the game.
Yeah.
That's which awesome. Was which awesome.
Is kind of like a hilarious send off. Yeah. It is. That's so Bronson. Yeah. And the Red Sox actually gave him the number 61 off the Green Monster.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And he had like a framed jersey.
Mm-hmm. Do you think him getting the concert was finally just the culmination of him nagging at the team, like, oh, come on, let me play guitar, let me play guitar. And then finally they were just like, you know what? Like, you've been asking long enough. Just shut up. If you're going to go away, then if you do it, will you just shut up about it? And so I think that was probably what finally happened there.
I think this was a major missed opportunity on Bronson's part to bring back the cornrows, because, you know, it would have been relevant this time because, you know, they're playing Boston and that's where he wore the cornrows. But
that would have been sweet.
Yeah.
And I know that we've talked about him being, you know, this being his farewell season earlier in some of our earlier episodes of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And he really is, like, when I think of him, he's one of my favorite Reds from my adult years.
Oh, yeah.
That he was a mainstay for, you know, 8 years on the Reds on some really good teams.
Yep.
And he really is one of my favorite guys. It's sad to see him go, but it was time. You know, he's 40 now and doesn't necessarily have the arm that he used to. Not that he had a not that he had a killer arm to begin with.
And I know that he said coaching's not in his future necessarily, but he liked working with the younger guys a lot this year. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll see him in spring training, maybe popping in from time to time. I don't think he's going to be a full-time coaching role or even a roving instructor like you see with Eric Davis and guys like that, but he's going to be around.
Yeah.
He's just too valuable and he's too nice of a guy to stay away too long. Speaking of players that we were fans of as an adult on the Reds, rather than just, you know, our childhood heroes, Johnny Gomes was in town for, I'm guessing, for this Bronson weekend because he played with Bronson in Cincinnati and he has a history with Boston.
He's got
Boston,
ties to Boston and,
he was in town for that. And I just, seeing the pictures made me realize how much I miss Johnny Gomes and some of the stories about him. He was... The fact that he fought off a heart attack for like 4 days because he thought he'd sleep it off.
God, man.
When he first I don't know if he got called up to, I guess maybe when he signed with Cincinnati, there was something weird where he was living in his car. He had all of his clothes in his car. He'd sleep in his car because he didn't want to get settled down because he thought it'd be bad luck if he got an apartment, he would get cut.
That's such like a grinder move. Yeah. Like that's just his personality to a T.
Yeah.
He's just a guy that grinds it out.
Yep.
Doesn't necessarily have all of the the physical gifts and abilities, but man, he works his ass off and that's why we love him.
And I loved, and this is just more when they first started barking the park and he was giving people's dogs like beef jerky along the warning track. And he's standing in the dugout, and I just always pictured in my head, like, somebody like, oh, no, he can't have that. And Johnny just looking at him like, don't you fucking dare. Like, you don't tell me what I can't give your dog.
Yeah.
But he's, by all accounts, he's probably the nicest guy, one of the nicest guys you could ever meet.
Mm-hmm.
But he will stick up for his teammates, that's for sure.
Yeah.
My favorite memories, well, he wasn't even a Red. I think he was on Tampa at the time. He tackled a guy. He ran in from right field to tackle a guy at second base for taking a hard slide on somebody.
Yeah.
Like he's just, not to turn this into a Johnny Gomes love fest when we're trying to talk about Bronson, but man, Johnny Gomes, man, I wish he was around more.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely good to see him in the dugout this past weekend.
Yeah. There was some good that came out of this weekend series with Boston. We got to see Billy Hamilton do something that might be more impressive than an in the park home run, which we're all still waiting for his first in the parker, which I can't believe we haven't gotten.
I know.
I know Great American was not the best place to have that happen, but they play on the road enough in stadiums where it could. But Billy Hamilton, they tried to pick him off at first, and he got caught in a pickle. Next thing you know, he is rounding third and scores. Only Billy Hamilton.
That's such a Billy Hamilton thing to happen. And it's good to see him back in the lineup. I know he was injured there for a little bit, and we got to see some of the younger guys starting in center, and sometimes there were some weird people starting in center, like Peraza was out there one game. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he started there, but that's where he ended up.
Yeah.
Also, I think we talked about this in the group chat, but Billy Hamilton's got some new teeth.
He does. I don't know when it happened, if it happened while he was out with the injury, if it happened early in the season and it flew under our radar.
Yeah,
but he smiled the one time, and I was like, "That's not the Billy Hamilton I remember."
That is one of the things that I've said about him, like from the get go. Like, if he wants to be like a marketable star, he needs to do something with those chompers, and that's exactly what he did.
And you know, learn how to hit.
Yeah, that might help too.
No, Nah, man.
No, but he, and they, I forget if it was Chris Welsh doing the broadcast. Whoever was doing the broadcast the other day was saying Billy Hamilton might have a career in politics the way he had to lobby to get reinstated off the disabled list. Because really? They were all set to just shut him down, and Billy was like, no, I'm not ending the year on the disabled list again. That's happened. It seems like it happens every year. Maybe it's only happened once or twice.
I think it's the past 3 years. He's missed like the last month.
Yeah.
With, I think, wrist and hip injuries before.
And Billy said, nope, not happening this year.
Yeah.
It's still, well, there's still time.
Yeah.
One of the guys that they shut down for the season was Rookie Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to end up having hip surgery. It sounds, I mean, you could tell some of his last starts that he wasn't 100%. Right. And now it comes out that they're ending his season and he's probably going to get surgery in the offseason. I don't necessarily know that he'll miss time next year, but he's one of those guys that it's, he's a rookie that's supposed to be good and his name's Rookie. So
yeah.
There is a lot to look forward to, and they've shown that in the last week or two, or the last month probably, that the future is bright. Hopefully they can, you know, get the few pieces they need to try to strike while Votto's still in his prime. Because he's still having an MVP season. If he, if the Reds weren't just so god-awful, he would be getting the MVP.
Even he reached base for the 300th time this past week.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just an insane amount. Like, that's an insane number to reach base 300 times in one season. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's good. And his interview today, I don't know if any had seen it yet. He was interviewed talking about how he wants to finish his career in Cincinnati and, hey, like, let's add a couple more years onto this deal. Let's extend it to a 10-year deal instead of having 7 left. And he was being goofy, but he was also being serious, saying, like, you know, I'm here to play forever. Like, I'm not going anywhere else. He talked about how he grew up a Lakers fan and a Blue Jays fan and how he liked the Raptors for a while up there in Toronto. But now he said, I'm a Reds fan. He's like, I don't care about any other team in sports except for the Reds, which is kind of refreshing to hear because...
No, I want him to still be a Lakers fan. It's bullshit.
So you guys can bond. But he... I've always been firm believer that I want to see Joey finish his career as a Red. I want him to have the same fate as Larkin as far as being the... Even though he wasn't a hometown guy, he was our guy. He's always been a Red. Yeah. It's not like we got him in a trade. I think he will finish his career, if nothing else, just because of his contract. And not to speak for him, and I'm sure his agent would hate him and the union would hate it, but the way he was talking, it almost sounded like he was asking just, you know, I don't care what the money is. Just tack the years onto my end of my deal. Right. And I'm going to stay here. I don't.
Yeah.
He doesn't need money. If he truly wants to keep himself as, you know, the long-tenured great Red player that guys like Larkin and stuff had, then I don't think he's going to really care too much about getting a big payday for those last 3 years of his career.
Well, plus, no. I mean, I don't know exactly what the exchange rate is, but, I mean, they could probably pay him, like, league minimum, and then if he goes back to Canada, he's still probably the richest man in Canada, I would assume.
Oh, and he doesn't drink or anything, so it's not like he has to pay any of the expensive stuff up there.
Yeah.
I know they say booze and cigarettes are crazy in Canada.
We'll have to get some of our Canadian friends on here soon enough to bitch about beer prices.
Yeah.
So to end the show, we're going to talk about a little bit of the NBA. And we've heard that this rumor is out there for years now, and that's Melo wants to get out of New York. And it finally happened over the weekend with him getting traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that makes the Thunder a pretty viable team. Yeah.
And do you think that Oklahoma got a little kick in the pants on this one? Because this came out, the trade news came out about less than a day after it was announced that Carmelo added the Cavs to his list of teams that he would get traded to. So I wonder if when teams found out that the Cavs were in play, they thought, oh, shit, we can't just sit on this anymore. We got to get going.
And it probably did.
And he may have never had
negotiations.
Yeah, and he may have never had any plans to go to Cleveland, but his agent probably thought, you know what, like, if we're going to get shit done, throw this out there.
Yeah.
He's willing to go to the Cavs for league minimum. Well, he's not a free agent, so I guess that's not really the case. But
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think he's still going to be making some decent money. So in the offseason, OKC already had the MVP in Russell Westbrook, triple-double machine. And then they also picked up Paul George from the Pacers and Carmelo from the Knicks. So that's a pretty decent big three that's going to be tough to beat.
Do you think Carmelo can win with them cats?
I don't.
Is that what?
I still think that they're...
I mean, take Russ off that team.
Take Russ off. I don't like Billy.
I still think that they're, you know, they're probably still the third or fourth best team in the West.
Yeah.
Just because Golden State's so good.
And the Lakers,
Houston's going to be
Houston's going to be damn good.
Minnesota is actually going to be really good this season.
Yeah.
Houston, what was the other team? Oh, the Lakers, you're right.
Nuggets?
You know, one of the things that happened with this was Enes Kanter for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Poor
He's
guy.
A center. He, once all of the Kevin Durant Twitter, multiple Twitter account stuff came out this past week, he kind of started dogging KD, saying that, you know, the Thunder would have never done this to him. They're a very loyal organization. And then 2 days later, he's one of the guys that gets traded for Carmelo. So he's no longer in the Thunder organization. I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm.
That is funny. Poor guy.
And it really just does go to show you that this is 100% a business, and even if you don't treat it like it is a business, you're going to find out one way or another that it is. So for players to act like loyalty is a big deal, I know that the fans will get, they'll easily get the fans on their side by saying that, but just say it. You don't necessarily need to mean it.
Yep. And this is not necessarily a basketball thing, but can you imagine you're going from one of the most expensive cities in the world to live in to living in Oklahoma City? Can you imagine what Carmelo is going to do now? I mean, if he even stays there, other than just when he has to be there for basketball, that's, I mean, you're still getting paid the same, or it's all the same to him as far as the amount on the check. But now you're, I mean, yeah, you've got some oil money around you, but you might be the richest man in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably going to be pissed at, like, every place closes at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Because he's used to being in New York where stuff's open to 3 in the morning.
The goddamn Applebee's.
It's probably going to be his biggest gripe.
Yeah. Damn Applebee's is closed already. So, but no, good for Carmelo. He'll get to play some meaningful basketball for the first time in God knows how long.
Since his days with the Nuggets,
yep.
Mac.
I know. Because it seemed like he was going to be part of that saving grace to New York, that he was going to be the savior of the Knicks, and they were going to get some more pieces around him, and it didn't work out, partially because
I do hear Starberry's coming back, though. So.
Yeah,
that's true.
Do they still own his rights?
I mean, do we think that, I mean, Carmelo still got enough left in the tank to actually be decent? I mean, you said that this makes the Oklahoma City have a pretty decent top, or big three, but... I mean, do they, or is it really big 2.5?
Well, I think it's kind of weird that Paul George and Carmelo played the same position.
Wow.
So it's going to be hard for them to be in the same lineup.
Sure.
I think that what they're going to end up doing is playing Carmelo at power forward, which is going to lead to some teams just being able to absolutely dominate them.
Yeah.
Not much defense is going to be played in Oklahoma City this year.
No. Yeah, nobody plays defense in the NBA.
It's true. So if you're looking for a good way to get traded onto a better team, make sure you subscribe to the Natty Boys podcast in iTunes. Be like your boy Carmelo. Get with the squad. Follow us on Twitter at MillIronSports. You'll see all of our individual Twitter handles on there. Go to the website, MillIronSports.com, where we post blogs weekly, sometimes daily, depends on the day. Make sure that you also follow us on Facebook too, MillIronSports on Facebook. And subscribe, rate, review, shout us out on Twitter. We're very interactive with our fans.
Yes.
And our haters.
Of which there are many.
See you guys Thursday.
Good night, y'all.